This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 plus years in the games media combined. We thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you'd also like to join that PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. More conversation happens on our Facebook community group page at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. But the most conversation happens on our Discord page at... You can get a link for that in the video description below. If you happen to really like what we do, please do consider heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you. Now, before we get started, we need to address a few things, Ryan.
Yeah, so we're at EB Expo 2017 in the Gold Coast. Obviously, we're not in our studio, so we're in a very echoey nook of the hotel room.
Yeah, so we apologise for the poor lighting and presumably poor audio.
And I feel sorry for this couch because I'm sinking into this couch so hard. I believe these cushions are made solely of air, not actually real cushion.
Also, if you didn't notice, my face was painted just a little bit.
It will give them the option to like, hey, do you want to get God of War face painted? I'm like, yes.
It felt good. Be like center of attention. You know, people are walking past as my face campaign's like, whoa, you look like the beard,
it looks like Kratos, oh my god. That's pretty much how it went down.
And it's all cool, like, having all this at the convention center, because, you know, people are like, oh, it's Kratos. Yeah. Then we, like, walked to get, like, Domino's, and then, like, walked into our hotel, and then I walked outside to have a cigarette.
Scared some old woman.
Yeah, scared an old lady, and now I just want to get off. So, yeah. So we're going to talk about PlayStation. At EB Expo 2017.
Yeah, so at EB Expo, there was a... PlayStation had pretty much a massive... what's the word I'm looking for?
Presence.
Boost. Presence. Man, we were also really tired, by the way. It's been a very long day. So we'll see how we go. But we want to kick things off.
I don't know where you were going with that.
Fuck me either.
Okay, well, let's start from one end and then just through our heads work our way through. Yeah?
All right.
Instead of going from here to here and then forgetting things. We'll start at... the very first booth, kind of, Detroit Become Human.
Yeah. So Detroit Become Human is the latest game from Quantic Dream. It's scheduled for release in 2018. So to our big surprise, it was actually playable here.
Yeah, it was a game that to this point I was like, eh, whatever, that's cool. Now I've played it. It's fucking incredible. Mm. Like, it's so far, at least, it's my game of show, like, overall. And I like that... because it's such a choice-influenced game that me, you, Dylan, and our buddy Watson, we each got a different outcome at the end. We all succeeded in the mission that was given to us, which was the E3, the skyscraper.
So, yeah, so it was the demo from E3 where you are playing the character of Connor, who is an android interrogator. You are sent to a... was it Dylan? Hostage negotiator, not interrogator, sorry. Very big difference. So you go to the top floor of this building where there is a family where a android has gone bonkers. His name's Daniel.
Family servant,
and he has kidnapped a small child and has him at gunpoint on the edge of the skyscraper. Her. It's fucking rooted. So the whole idea is you need to save the kid. That's priority numero uno at this point. Mm-hmm. So the demo itself is separated into two sections. The first being you walk in, you investigate the house, get as much information as you can, and then you wander onto the balcony to begin your negotiations.
Oh, you're passing to me?
Yes.
Stroking my sweet beard. Yeah, so I liked how... I guess the main thing that got me is that even though, yes, they are androids, you know, in the name it's Detroit Become Human, and they were very, very human in the way that obviously the emotions, because the reason Daniel, the family's android, has kind of gone crazy is because he found out the dad was ordering a replacement unit for him, and he's on the balcony as you're having that discussion with him, then negotiating with him, he's going, you know, I thought they loved me, I thought I was part of the family and all that, and it's like, that's fucking weird for an android to say, dude. And you can go different routes about it. You can get a gun, and you can, you know, you lie about having it. You can use it towards the end if you want to. You can sympathize with him. I think the guy in the booth, I heard him say to someone else, there's 66 different
potential branches
of how things go. So one ending we got to, the ending I got to the mission was kind of edge your way closer to him, to the edge of the skyscraper where he's standing with the girl, and he goes to shoot himself, and I ran forward, I hip and shouldered him off the cliff, in the same motion threw the girl back onto the thing, and I died with him. Yeah. It was like mission success. But it wasn't perfect because I died as well. You got a different ending the first time.
Yeah, I got a very different ending. So I should also address the fact that in terms of the 66 branches or whatever it is of potential outcomes, it all stems from one, how much information you gather in the first section, and two, how the negotiations go.
How you use that information.
That's correct, because all that information will then come into play with the negotiations. Like, there will be certain branches of conversation that you cannot access because you don't know. Like, you don't know that, you know, you don't know they shot this person. You don't know that there was a gun. You know, there's all these things that you don't know where they come from. For me,
you could go into it without even knowing that Bad Android's name if you didn't learn it.
Yeah, like, it's kind of difficult to not know it. It is possible. So the way it works on like a percentage. So when I investigated the floor the first time, I got about 75% of the information that I needed. Then as I went on to the balcony to begin the negotiations, I was able to, because it tells you what your estimated percentage of success will be. So depending on how your negotiation goes, obviously that increases and decreases depending on what you say.
With every response you give, the percentage changes. Based off what you just said.
Correct. So obviously, I was able to tick all the right boxes, and I got like a 99% success rate, which means I saved the girl. He let the girl go. He wandered on over, and I'm like, put the gun down. He puts the gun down, and then he gets blown apart by SWAT. You know, I felt really bad. So that was the interesting different outcome. So like, I was able to get what I thought was going to be the perfect outcome, that he would be able to walk away and something. Because, you know, I understand it's a robot that may be able to, like, reprogram it. And, like, within the 5 to 10 minutes that we were doing this and we were having that discussion with the character, like, it's the mocap, the way it's written, like, the way that it's performed, it is so emotional in such a short period of time. Like, when the girl was set free, I got this nice sense of relief. And then, you know, because you're saying all the right things, but sort of the true things as well. I'm like, you know, whatever. So then when the girl's escaped and he gets shot, I get this sinking feeling in my gut. I'm like, oh man, like, I thought I was saving you. Like that.
No, you saved the girl. And then the second time I played it, I got a different outcome where I just capped him in the head. I did it, yeah? Kind of walked up, you know, edged my way closer and closer. Like, do you have a gun? Nope. Got closer and closer and closer, and then there was just an option that I must have done the right dialogue choices for execute and just. But when I pulled the gun out, he goes, "You lied." Like the bad robot looks at me. He's like, "You lied to me."
Same.
And then you cap him.
He says the same thing. So we're in the perfect ending. After he gets shot and he drops to his knees, he's like, "You lied to me, Connor." Yeah. And it's like the way it's delivered. It's in such a way you're like, ugh. And like it's pulling your, it totally pulls your insides out a little bit.
Great game of show, but there was a lot more.
Oh man, see, like the thing is, like, so, and then what we just, like, that was what we played for that two. We just did it twice. Dylan, different outcome again. Buddy had a slightly different outcome. Now it looks as if, no matter how the branch is out, it looks to come back to a certain four probable choices. But how you get to those six possible choices, but how you get to those choices is very different.
And what happens in between, you know, more. Because you were saying, like, he, on your way in, he shot another cop. But you can actually go and, like, bandage the, like, you can help the cop that got shot, or you could just fucking leave him there. And, you know, it's kind of how you get there and everything. It's cool. But next to that was,
It was GT Sport. GT Sport coming out on October 17, latest in the Gran Turismo franchise. What they had here is they had all the racing seats. They had a couple of, three or four in VR, and the rest, about six or so, were just standard GT Sport. Now, I didn't jump in there. Gran Turismo, not really my thing. Racing sims, not my skill set, but yourself.
Ah, me either. Yeah. But we did watch a kid play Demolition Derby.
Yeah, a kid did not understand the sim part of Gran Turismo, and then proceeded to drive across a hill into another car.
So, you know, play how you want. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so like, and plus VR car racing makes you want to hurl, so I had no interest in heading over there. But keep moving on. Now, speaking of VR, though, so when they had GT Sport, then up the next little column there, they had a bunch of other VR games. So
I didn't play any.
You didn't play any?
Yeah, you played all of them.
I played two. So on the media presentation night, they had Bravo Team, which is the new shooter coming out, not quite confirmed on the date yet. They had the Farpoint gun, the aim controller. That looked to be fun.
Oh, they're still using it for stuff.
Yeah. That's good. They're bringing it into some other games now. So they had the aim controller doing that sort of stuff, which is great. Then next week it had the Inpatient, which the Inpatient also replaced the Bravo Team booths. Bravo Team was there today. Oh. Interesting. So the Inpatient is essentially an Until Dawn prequel. It takes place in like a mental asylum about 40 to 60 years before Until Dawn.
In Until Dawn on the cabin in the hill you're in, you do end up going to an old abandoned mental
asylum. I think it's the same one.
It's probably the same one.
Yeah. It was really good.
I've got the video footage of the jump scare because all the guys at the booth were like, do you want to record him like getting fucking scared? I'm like, yeah, I do. So these two guys like collaborated like to let me know when it was coming. I got on film. It's funny. I like it.
Like it wasn't like, bleh, but it was a good like, so the whole idea is you're essentially like, sitting there, you're being not interrogated. I guess some are being interrogated by the dude with the glasses, the old dude with glasses that you see in all the trailers for Inpatient. And he gets right up in your shit constantly. One of the things it does have, though, in the same vein of Until Dawn, there's dialogue choices that pop up on the screen. So you're talking to him, say you're the camera, right? So the camera is the character we're talking to. To his left, there's, one option. To his right, there's another option. So you look at it and trigger your option. So you still get the same dialogue choice style that you would get in Until Dawn.
Cool.
And then behind the sentences as well, it also gave the emotional inflection as well, sort of add an extra layer to it.
Yeah, well, watching what was happening on the screen, I guess there was two parts, because when you got into the second part right before it ended where the jump scare was, it just seemed to like up the ante from like 3 to 10. Like it was just, I heard the music like doom, 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 and there's like people like something's jumping up at the screen.
Yeah, and there's this weird like half moose, half person in the shadows.
Yeah,
and
yeah. So it looks scary.
It was pretty unnerving.
Is it PSVR only?
Yes.
Fuck.
As far as I'm aware.
Fuck.
That's fine. Play it at my place.
You don't ever have it plugged in.
I'll plug it in for you. If you say, I want to come play Inpatient. Yeah. Because we did it with Until Dawn, Rush of Blood. All the Until Dawns.
Yeah. But you haven't played Until Dawn anyway.
No, because it's really scary.
It's not really.
For me, it is. Anyway. What else? While we're there, I played another VR game. Played Skyrim VR. You know, was it best game 2011?
Yeah. So tell me, Ryan, Josh from Pop Culture is here.
Oh, hi, how are you going? Yes.
So you just played Skyrim VR?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me how bad it is actually with the Move controllers?
It's pretty poor.
Thanks, Ryan. This was Josh for the Pop Culturist. Elaborate.
All right, so I was playing originally with the motion controllers. Now, what was the big giveaway? Right, is when the woman's like, she's like, you played VR before? I'm like, yeah, I have. Cool. She's like, all right, here's the Move controls. Heads up, you can play with the DualShock. Don't worry about it. It's fucking fine. Please know that you can play with the DualShock, right? This is not the only way to play it. I'm like, all right, cool. So what it has you doing, so you have obviously the two controllers, each controlling one of your hands. I had a sword and fire. So you use the thumb button or the T button, whatever the fuck it's called, to use that to teleport. Like you do like the hopping like we did in... a bad game. Teleporting's poops.
Yeah.
It's not the best way to play VR. And then in order for you to pivot, because there is no thumbstick, you have to use like the square and the X button on this thing. Oh. So it's like...
That's disgusting.
It's really janky.
You'd think when they brought the VR, they would have just added joysticks and Move controls. How much would that solve?
I would hope to think they're working on that tech. They would have to be. It'd be stupid not to.
With the feedback that they're probably going to get from Skyrim VR, they must. But like, how was it being in that world in VR?
It is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So where they drop you in, it's one of the first little temples that you see. So when you head in, you first go to, I think it's Riverrun. Is Riverrun the first town?
No, you're thinking of Game of Thrones. Riverwood.
Riverwood, thank you. So there's Riverwood is the first little town that you come across, and then they ask you to go up to a little thing to find the Golden Claw for the shopkeep. So you go up there and it spawns you right sort of near the top. So you look up and you see a dragon flying overhead and it looks insane. These are running on PS4 Pros, I should add. So it did look a little bit cleaner than normal.
everything was running on PS4 Pro.
Yes, that should be a disclaimer. Yeah, so you look up and the temple thing, the little ruins looked fucking huge. The dragon looked imposing. The height looked real. See, because the thing is, one of the first games I played, well, actually, literally the first game I played in cinematic mode when I got my VR was Skyrim, because I wanted to be immersed in that world. And it just happened to have come out really recently.
So do you think that... what was I going to say? I mean, yeah, it's cool and it looks good and it's immersive, and obviously with the DualShock it'll be, you know, so much better. But do you think it's a bit dirty that it's a separate game and not a patch? Like, I don't know how development works and all that, but I know there are other games that have just patched in the VR and stuff, but not obviously not to the scale of Skyrim either. Do you think Bethesda should have been like good guys and just made it a free patch, or do you think they're justified in charging $80 or $100 Australian again?
I would say...
I feel like I'm interviewing you right now. That's
fine. I would say it is certainly not worth the full price they're putting on it, because it's once again, it's a 5-6-year-old game. Granted, it's VR. I think you make it a patch and the patch is $40.
I don't know how that would work logistically.
I would say $40-$50. That's the best way to get about it. One, you're moving units of your Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
And then you're also doing a patch. Now, granted, I understand that it's not simple to make this happen. To run a world like that in VR would be incredibly demanding and would take sufficient dev time.
Because I'd imagine they'd have dropped the graphics a bit to be able to do it all in VR and have it run smoothly. Does being in VR like make up for the loss of fidelity that you'd get playing it? Like the remastered, I mean, if you put the remastered version next to the VR version, I guarantee you the remastered version will look better every way. What, does it being in VR make up for that?
With what I had to play, because if you look at all the branding for Skyrim VR, it's not Skyrim Definitive Edition VR, it's Skyrim Edition. It's Skyrim VR. So I have reason to believe it's running on vanilla. So, you know, probably the one from 5 years ago in order to make that possible.
I think you mean 6 years ago.
What did I say? 6 years ago. So I think once you get into it, because I could certainly see myself getting super into it. Granted, I wouldn't play with the moves because the swinging and the stuff kind of took me out of it more, which is weird. But that, plus the DualShock, I think I could spend a lot of time in there. Granted, yeah, you get a lot of little jaggies and stuff that you get with, you know, VR because it's not like as sharp as it could be.
Okay. Where are you on from there?
In summary, move controls is stupid for this game. I think with the DualShock, it'll actually be a somewhat viable VR game.
So next up from there was Call of Duty World War II.
Which I spent a lot of time with the beta, so we decided not to really jump in there.
And I didn't jump into it at all because the Call of Duty line at EBs are always the worst. Behind Battlefront, which had like a 4.5-hour line at EB 2015.
Yeah.
Battlefront, surprisingly, not there this year, too.
Yeah,
which is weird. But in this really, you know, big booth, so you couldn't even see in there. I don't know why. So I don't really care about that. But then was the God of War experience.
Yeah, so God of War, this is the new one coming out early next year. No playable demo. Says it was more of an experience. You would come in, you sat in a room, they had a couple of screens in different locations, so not everyone's looking one way, which I thought was really clever, having three screens, a bunch of beanbags.
When we walked in there and it's like, there's no playable, there's nothing new, I was like...
Well, I also knew that too, because like when it came to promoting the event, they referred to it as the God of War experience.
Oh yeah, no, I knew that, but I don't know, it was just kind of deflating, I guess. But essentially what they showed you was the trailers you've seen thus far, but with... director commentary over it.
From the game director.
Director himself. And he's kind of explaining the choices of why they've done some things and what influenced them and what motivations are and all that kind of stuff. And I walked out going, like, more hyped for it than ever. Like, what the game director, I forget his name, sorry, but hearing him speak about what they're doing, what they're trying to accomplish with the game, probably gave me more hype for it than being able to play through what we've seen from the demo.
Yeah, so what they essentially did is he sort of broke down, as you said, some of the decisions they made. So it was like, okay, so look, we've moved the camera angle, however, this is allowing this. So they talked about how the scale of God of War is still there, as in like the big fuck off things you can climb and do and look. But rather than the devs telling you where to look, how they would do in the past with the God of War's fixed camera angle, now by having it You know, third person behind Kratos, and you can freely move it.
It's also,
you're allowed to take in the vista into its mass.
Yeah, and that theoretically the whole game is going to be one cut with no loading.
That's
screens.
The plan at this
that
point.
That is insane. Yeah. As he was describing that, as he was just
pizza, we
had like four pizzas just then. But yeah, as he was explaining that, you did see the footage go from him killing something into a cutscene, and then into him running off again. And there was no like cinematic black bars that come down or anything. It was just all one thing.
And I should mention credit to Detroit as well. Detroit did the exact same thing. So at the start of it, you know, you ride an elevator up, and then it's just you're in the game. There was no fade. It was just sweeping camera shot, and you're in. I'm like, why am I not moving?
Reminds me,
I need to do moving.
Reminds me of Final Fantasy back in the day when a cutscene would finish, and then you'd stand there, and you're like, well, what's happening? And then you move the joystick, and you're like, oh, it's me now. Mm. Oh, okay. But with God of War, I also like how he said, you're not really going to know when you're fighting a boss, because all the enemies are going to feel like a boss fight. Well,
yeah,
for the majority,
everything's
anyway.
Going to feel
everything's
that intensity.
Big, everything's going to be intense. Everything's going to be quite difficult. You know, it's all going to feel like boss fights, and that's just
because awesome. The one thing I just wanted to show is that the combat is still as frenetic as it's ever been in terms of, like, it's still fast, it's still movement. Like, yeah, they showed how that you could go from using your axe thing. So you use your axe, and then you throw your axe, and then you'll bring your shield out, use the shield, then the axe will come back, and you'll switch between the two. And
shield's not just for defense. Kratos fucked shit up with that shield. Yeah. It was incredible.
And then, of course, it finished off, of course, like, you don't know, and then it ended with some mocap footage, which is available online at this point, of Christopher Judge being Kratos, and they're doing the scene, the boat.
It's so weird, like, seeing the actor and the voice, because well, I never looked at who Kratos' voice actor was.
He's,
or anything.
Tilk from Stargate.
And just seeing him, like, speak and hearing Kratos.
So that's my in for Millie. Like, Millie, you should check out the new God of War game. She's like, why? I'm like, it's Tilk. She's like,
Tilk. Buy the collector's edition.
Like,
so
yes, man.
Outside from that was the PlayLink area.
Yes.
Which we muck around with because we've played the PlayLink.
It's
stuff.
Party. It's the party games. That's you. They also had a couple of other ones. They had what was the other supermassive one?
I forget.
Blanked out entirely what it was called.
They had more.
There was That's You, and there was two other PlayLinks as well. But yeah, we didn't really jump into them. Not for lack of not wanting to. It's just
there was a lot of people waiting.
There was a lot of people waiting.
Now in that PlayLink area was where I got my face painted.
Yes, yeah, so they had a little strongman Bell and two lovely ladies who were doing makeups
all day. I saw them. We were waiting for Detroit towards the end of the day, and I saw them like packing their stuff up.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's a long day of like painting dudes white.
Credit to like them, and credit to PlayStation Australia for organising that, because it's such a simple and really cool idea.
Yeah, well, like when we're waiting for the pizza, like six dudes walk past with Kratos' face. It was awesome. And then they even had Kratos's like his leather
shoulder strap
thing, and a hammer, not the hammer, but a hammer.
Yeah, it's like essentially the hammer for a strong man. It's probably the closest they could get.
I got some sweet looking photos.
Oh, if anything, it showed us what you would look like because when we have some things planned for the God of War review when it comes out next year, and this pretty much solidified what we have in mind, and it worked.
Really. I would make a better Kratos than you and Dylan. I think that's a given.
Oh, duh, because you have
your
beard.
Lack of facial hair.
Yeah, like, if you want to imagine what like Kratos would did instead of fighting Zeus, he just went and had pizza and hang out.
That's you guys.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, Kratos on the couch, you know.
Then they had games that have been out for a while. They had Lost Legacy playable. They had Crash Insane Trilogy.
Yeah,
playable.
So on the inside they had like what they were calling the, you know, it was like I think Big Sun said hashtag for the players since whatever, and we're like,
no,
it's like technically we stole it, but it's ours. Yeah, and they had
that's our name. You can't use that.
So they had like FIFA, had Madden, they had Crash. They had Tekken 7. They had a bunch of games that are already coming out that a lot of people may not have spent time with. And then on the outside of the booth, they had, Destiny 2, Uncharted The Lost Legacy. And then around the corner, they had
WWE
2K18, so the one that's coming out later this month.
Apparently, it's really good. Apparently, 2K is
really,
like really kind of started to turn things around with
WWE
2K18.
Yeah, and to their 2K18. Credit, no microtransactions. So far.
And then the very last game on PlayStation. See, I think we had the two best games at PlayStation that Sony had there. One at one end was Detroit, and then directly opposite all the way the other end was Monster Hunter Worlds.
Mm.
Game's cool, man.
Yeah, so I spent a couple of minutes with it because I wanted to see what it was like. because you've been jerking this game like hard, right? In a good way, which is fine.
Sensibly.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, cool, let's check this out. And then I started and it's like, do this and jump. I'm like, this is way too dense for like a 15-minute demo.
I think, I don't know if by the time this goes up, there'll be like my solo video talking about it up, but it's a hard game to demo.
It kind of looks like I'm trying to like kiss you this whole time.
It's been like this the whole time, I have noticed.
Yeah. It's only because I'm too fat. But like, it's kind of...
Hey. It's a hard game to demo because Monster Hunter is renowned for having incredibly... Probably the deepest RPG system like, any game has.
The lengthiest prep for battles.
Yeah, see, you don't just kind of... You don't get a quest to kill that monster and then go and kill it. You know, you need to track it. You need to plan traps. You need to kind of think about where you're going to try to lead it through so you can have your traps ready, appropriate potions and elixirs. Like, it's a process.
Mm.
And it's a very hard game to demo because of all of that. And because you dumped in and, you know, you got all these resources and stuff. You're like, I don't know what any of this fucking shit does.
Mm.
Thankfully, the missions they gave you to do, you could do just by kind of... They were easy ones. You could just run up and just start smashing it and you'd get it eventually anyway. So I did one of them and I found it super enjoyable, man. The combat was, like, super heavy. Like, you felt the weight of your swings. Mm. It will be a great game, but it is a game that... Yeah, you need to play from the start and you need to kind of learn one thing at a time other than having 20 things dumped on you at once.
Yeah, so I think I understand why it was sort of tucked to the side and like maybe four booths is simply because it's tough. It's a tough one to sell.
You said it.
It's tough.
You said it's tough.
But it's different yeah. inflection.
See, it's the game people will know if they want it or not.
Yeah.
Already.
You and know, it pretty much solidifies what you already knew, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what I thought it was, and it seems to be even deeper than I thought it was, which is fine, because I love those kind of games. But, yeah, just walking up and jumping in for 10 minutes is not the way to experience this game. But it was there, so I was happy it was there anyway.
Yeah, no, so overall, the PlayStation booth itself was fucking rad.
It was really
well set up. There was a lot of cool stuff there.
They had... For the third year running that we've been there, they had the most floor space of anybody else there. Shout out to Nintendo, though. Their area looked fucking fantastic. Yeah.
They may have had less floor space, but they used a lot of vertical.
They had a lot of floor space, but yeah, they were like all the way up to the roof. It was really bright and everything. You know, it was great. But, you know, Sony always have the most presence, and they did this year too. I feel like... There wasn't as much to be as excited about because all the games we are excited about still quite aren't there yet. Like, we didn't get to play God of War. There was obviously no Days Gone.
Which baffled me. Like, Days Gone, not so much because there's no expected release date for that yet. Not even 2018 at this point. But God of War scheduled for early 2018. So, at its latest, we're looking at March, right?
Well, it pretty much means there's no more conventions for them to show footage at other than PSX.
Or PAX. Oh, ooh.
They won't do anything at PAX.
No, PAX Australia, they're not going to do anything, but... PSX, I think there'll be some
PSX
big time
in December.
PSX,
it'll be there, but as in to get it into people's hands at conventions, at least for Australia, we're out.
We're done.
Know, we're not getting.
Unless you know we get an invite. Looking at you, hey Flo, help brother out
to America.
No, to come and play. Oh, that would be better. I meant just to play it before it comes out. That's pretty much the plan at this point. I don't know, anyway, my house.
Just send Scott.
We're going to the Sony offices in Melbourne.
So we know this has not been the usual episode of For the Players. We know we are super tired. We know we didn't do all the segments we normally do, but you know what? We're at a convention.
Yeah, like we did this for us and you, but mostly us.
I really don't know how to wrap this up. If you'd like that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast services. More conversation happens on our Facebook community group page at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. But the most conversation happens in our Discord channel page. You can get a link to that in the description below. And if you happen to really like what we do, please do consider heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.